worship the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises and glory and honor is unto you, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be thy name, O God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Well, yesterday, last night, it was good to be at Holiness Conference. Amen. Until I got a phone call last night. Yeah, and phone rang late at night, so I thought it was my wife calling me, beating me to call her. And I looked at the phone and it said, Elder Dudley. And so I said, oh, okay, well, I certainly hope I didn't do nothing wrong. Hallelujah. And so as he got to talking, I was just sure he's going to say, well, he said, you're going to be here the whole conference? I said, yes, sir. And he said, good, good. And as he began to talk, I just knew he was going to say, we'd like for you to sing. That's what I was expecting. Amen. We sure like for you to sing. Amen. But that word didn't come out. And so here I am. And I want to say that because I guess a couple asked if I was preaching. I told them no. At that time, I did not know. Hallelujah. But I appreciate the confidence these men have in me to stand behind this sacred desk tonight. As I look out in the congregation, I feel like I see a whole lot more men that's more capable than I am. They probably could do a much better job. But it's my lot, my turn, and here I am. I do love this conference. Amen. I love this conference. This is a conference that you know you can come to, and it's safe. Amen. You're going to hear from God. You're going to get direction from God. And there's going to be a move of God. Amen. This can be a life-changing conference. And it has been. Amen. I give honor to Bishop Pastor Dudley. And really do love and appreciate these men. They have been to Dallas several times. And, of course, have been a great, great blessing to our church. And I can't say thank you for the basket. Thank you for the hotel room and all that. Can't say that. And don't give me one. Now, if I said all that, you know I'm nervous. Hallelujah. faith. Well, glory. Hallelujah. But my, haven't we heard some great preaching already? Thank you, Bishop Johnson, for the good word of the Lord last night. And what a great, great challenge to get off our little hill and climb higher. Amen. To some mountains the Lord has for us. Thank you, Elder Yarborough. This morning, he really had my mind really, really stirred. Amen. As he preached about warfare this morning and taking the spoil. Amen. And then thank you. Thank you, Elder Collins, for the good, good word of the Lord on the things that must be. Things that must be. If they must be, then that's because God feels like it must be. And if God feels like it must be, and we feel like it must be, and we're going to get on the same page with God, and it must be, will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I can't say I'm glad to have my wife with me because she's not here. Amen. I wish she was, but she was unable to come. She did have an airline ticket, but I had to cancel it because we got some other things going on that some of y'all know about. Amen. Coming up next month. So thank you for all the congratulations for my daughter. Amen. And looking forward to that. And so my daughter really, really needed her there. Amen. But do have a few here from Dallas. And amen. Faith Tabernacle is familiar with the Phillips kids. And so glad that they're here. And I believe I have a niece somewhere here as well. Oh, yep, there she is. Praise the Lord. A niece from our church. So amen. So we do have a few here from Dallas. Praise God. Hallelujah. I give honor to all these good men of God, these elders, bishops. Really love and appreciate. I love preachers. I love preachers. Sometimes I look at these men and what they've accomplished in the kingdom, and I just weep. I weep. Amen. I really do. Praise God. These ought to be our heroes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yes. Praise God. And they certainly are mine. Praise the Lord. Well, I do want to go to the word of the Lord here tonight. And 1 Samuel chapter 3. As I begin to pray and seek the Lord, to try to God to give me clear direction for this service tonight. A few things came and I began to just want to be sure. And so what I have tonight is going to be a challenge. Amen. It's going to be a challenge tonight to challenge all of us. But mostly I'm going to be preaching to the saints of God here tonight. Amen. And of course, preachers can also glean, and I'm sure you'll find something in there for you as well. But I believe that God is calling us into a closer relationship with Him. Hallelujah. And I feel this very, very strong. And I feel like Bishop Johnson, hope don't make anybody mad tonight. But I'm just going to let it rip. I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to let it rip. Hallelujah. Elder Dudley said, don't hold back. And so, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, either make you mad or make you glad. All right. Hallelujah. All right. And I don't want to have to clarify a lot of things. All right. Don't have to clarify. Amen. Praise God. Hope you know where I'm coming from. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Praise God. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 7. says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord. I want to preach tonight, yet do you know the Lord? Yet do you know the Lord? Let's put our Bibles down, lift up our hands, and let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We want God to have his way in this place tonight. Oh, we want God to help somebody tonight. Oh, we want God to move in a mighty way this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Yet is a word that we use all the time. Amen. And it is placed here in this passage of scripture. When we talk about yet, it means at this present time, now, up to a particular time, thus far, in the time still remaining. Amen. Before all is done. Amen. And God wraps this all up. Amen. Yet, do you know the Lord? In our scripture text, it said that Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. This was done in the temple where the presence of the Lord abided. The word minister here means to attend as a menial, humble, servile, submissive work, or worshiper. To contribute to, servant, service to wait on. So Samuel, who was dedicated to the temple by his mother, being weaned and old enough as a child, did service and worshiped in the temple under Eli. When the Lord called Samuel this night, he thought it was Eli calling him. And may I say, that's right. That's right. Whenever the Lord speaks to you, it's going to sound like your pastor. It may not be the same tone of voice, but he's not going to tell you nothing different than what your pastor says. He's not going to tell you nothing different than what your pastor preaches. He's not going to tell you nothing different than what your pastor counsels and advises. And the reason why is because God is not the author of confusion. God's not going to tell you one thing and then tell the pastor another thing. It don't work that way. Hallelujah. It's going to be in the same line. Praise God. Amen. As wicked as Eli was, praise Samuel still respected him. Samuel still submitted to him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so, by Samuel thinking it was Eli calling him, he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you, Eli, back down. This happened three times. The reason for Samuel thinking it was Eli that called him was in verse 7. It says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Amen. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed to him. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about. Do we yet know the Lord? Samuel ministered in the temple. He was familiar with the temple. No doubt he had respect for the temple. He knew it was the temple of the Lord. He knew Eli was his pastor. He had respect for Eli.
He listened to Eli. He was submissive to Eli. In other words, Samuel had the temple service and worship all in order, but he did not yet know the Lord. I want to preach about this tonight. Amen. How many church people do we have today that do service in the church? They know the church. They respect the church. They know the pastor. They respect the pastor. Amen. But do they really know the Lord? Our service to the Lord, even our faithfulness, can be ritualistic. We can get caught up in the religious acts of Pentecost more than we know the Lord. The going ins and the going outs of church, but not really knowing the Lord. We know the form of prayer. We know the calisthenics of praise and worship. We know how to respond to the presence of the Lord that we feel. We know how to respond to preaching. All of this we can have down pat, but yet the question is, do you know the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, you can really feel like, I say you can really feel like you're drawing nigh to God with your mouth. But just the things that you say, by the words that you pray, you can really, amen, honor God from your lips, amen, by your praise and the songs that you sing and the words that you say. But your heart can still be far from him. Because where we have to know him is from our heart. We gotta know him from our heart. That's why the first commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy all of thy mind, all of thy soul, all of thy strength. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. Amen. That first commandment still stands. We gotta love him. We gotta love him with all of our heart. Whatever we do for God, it must come from the heart. That's why there's got to be preparations of the heart. That's why you got to prepare your heart to praise and worship God. That's why we have prayer before church. You're preparing your heart. I got to get my heart in this thing. We're not just dancing to the music. We're just not moving, hallelujah, because it sounds good. And we're not even moving because it feels good. Sinners feel good in here when they come. And they respond the best way they can. The fact is, we know how to respond. And we can know how to respond without it being out with our heart. That's the truth. I said, that's the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what, yet do we know the Lord. Yet do you know the Lord. Whatever we do, it must come from our heart. Amen. That what comes from the heart knows him. What comes from the heart knows him. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. We can glory in a lot of things. We can glory in our status in life, glory in our wisdom and might and riches. We can also glory in the fact that we're blessed. We can see God's favor in our life. We can glory and testify of God's goodness to us, his provision, his protection. But what God wants us to glory in is that we understand and know him. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, I don't have time to elaborate on that. Amen. So you get what you can. I got to move on. Amen. Revelations 2. This is a good example of what I'm talking about. Amen. When Jesus told John to write a letter to the church of Ephesus, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, has borne, has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, hallelujah. We see here how the church of Ephesus had much going for them. Their report started out so good. They worked hard in their service to the Lord. They had patience. They hated evil. They hated sin. They knew the truth. They tried them which were said with their, that we were apostles, or could I even say apostolic? They tried them that said they were apostolic, amen, and found them liars. They knew the truth. They loved this apostolic way. They knew there was no other way. But this one God, Jesus' name, apostolic way, they loved the doctrine. They loved holiness and separation from the world. They were as conservative and as holy as minded as you could get. But Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, like the church of Ephesus, they love church. They love the apostolic way in truth and holiness, but they love this more than they love the Lord. Oh, hear me tonight. Hallelujah. Hear me. We can love church. We can love the things about church. We can love what we feel at church. We can love our pastor. We can love his preaching. We can love to work. We can love the service for the church. We can love going to church. We can love having church. We can love fellowshipping. We can have fun times together. And all of this is good. All of this is necessary. We're not going to have it no other way. But if we're not careful, we can love all the right things about church and the doctrines, amen, but yet love these things more than we love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Am I making somebody mad already? Hallelujah. We come to church. We have great church. We have a wonderful time. And yes, that's what we ought to have. That's what we expect. But if you're not careful, you can get caught up in just all of that. We're still going to run the aisles. We're still going to leap for joy. We're still going to say amen. We're still going to come to the altar and cry out to God. Oh, yes, we will. But the problem is that once all of that is done, when you walk out those doors, do you yet know the Lord? you yet know the Lord? Oh, I know church. I know his presence. I know the power of God. Hallelujah. I know all of that. It feels good. Oh, yeah. Amen. I know when my pastor's preaching, he's preaching good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. But, oh, you can still have all of that and yet not know the Lord. I don't know. Amen. Samuel grew to be a great man of God. He did. Yes, he did. And he had the temple, all of the works and servers of it, down pat. He was a worshiper. Amen. Yes, he was, because that's part of ministering there in the temple. Praise God. But oh, I know he was still a little boy, but yet he still did not know the Lord. Amen. And if we're not careful, amen, we can get all of that. Hallelujah. All of that. Oh, I'm preaching here tonight. I'm preaching to somebody. Several here tonight. Amen. But yet not know the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You see, it's possible to leave your first love. Jesus needs to always be our first love. The love for all of the things about church and the doctrines needs to come out of a true, sincere love for him. Ephesus had it all down pat. They had it all. Ephesus. Man, we could fellowship with Ephesus. Praise God. Woo! But something about, hey, you left your first love. And the judgment was, I'm going to remove the candlestick out of its place. Woo! Removing the, amen. Elder Collins said it this morning, Jesus dwelling in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. But it would have been six if Ephesus didn't repent. There would have been a church missing, a church gone. That probably had the best standards, the best holiness, that loved the doctrine, that loved the truth. Oh, yeah. More than all the other ones. But you see, we can get caught up on who we are and what we have. So much. Hallelujah. Huh? And relishing that on our little hill. Oh, hallelujah. But there's something about knowing God, something about knowing the Lord, hallelujah, that takes us up higher, that takes us up higher, that takes us up higher. Amen. And to know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. Do you really know him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Can we worship the Lord here? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God. Hallelujah. In my opening scripture text, where it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, you may be seated. The word know in the Hebrew is yada. This is the same word know that is written in Genesis 19 and 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. In Genesis 4:17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. The word no, as in these cases, it also was used to mean intimacy, relationship. No doubt Samuel knew about the Lord, but he did not know the Lord. Knowing the Lord the way he wants us to know him has everything to do with intimacy. Has everything to do with relationship. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going somewhere, praise God. Amen. The word intimate means associated in close personal relations. Very private. Closely personal. You see, when God called Samuel, it was when Samuel was alone. When he was lying down asleep. This was personal. This was personal. This was one-on-one with God, dealing with relationship. When I talk about God, amen, this is the level of what I'm talking about. We know about him in church. Whenever we gather together for the church, for group prayer meetings, we know about him. We're around church people. We're familiar with his presence and how to conduct ourselves. But do we know him in our privacy? Do we know him when we are all alone? Do we have the same kind of relationship in his presence when we are alone than when we try to have when we're having church? Many apostolics only know about the Lord in church in a church atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah. I got to do this. Hallelujah. Amen. They only know about God in a church atmosphere. Amen. 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 They're uncomfortable if something gets spiritual outside of church. They get uncomfortable if something is stirring up for a move of God outside of church. They're embarrassed to say, wait a minute, we're not in church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. They get embarrassed. They stiffen up in everything. Why? Because, amen, this ain't church. Amen. We're out in a strange place. I'll never forget it. Me and a friend of mine, we were walking in the mall. Hallelujah. Just walking in the mall years ago. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of a sudden, both of us at the same time began to feel the presence of God. I mean, tears was running down our face. We began to speak in tongues right there while we were walking. Hallelujah. People probably thought we were crazy, but you know what? I'm not ashamed of this. We cannot be ashamed of this. We cannot be ashamed of this. Why? Because we know the Lord. We know him just as much in our privacy as we know him at church. Oh, this is right tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You see, amen, we got to know him. Amen, the way he wants us to know him. Let me show you something tonight. You can be seated. Amen. Psalm 63 and 1. It says this. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen in the sanctuary. You see what the psalmist said? First he said, oh God. That's a phrase and call of emotion from the heart. Oh God. Anybody ever felt that? Oh, God. You ever felt that? Woo, hallelujah. When you're thirsty for God, you're hungry for God. Woo, those words. Oh, God, you feel it from here. You're on your way. You're on your way to get into the presence of the Lord when you feel that. Oh, God. Something that's coming from here. Oh, God. Yeah. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Another psalm said, my voice. Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, there it is again. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. My voice. Pray with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Woo! God, my voice. There may be millions of other voices, but you're going to hear my voice. Can you say that today? Can you say that tonight? Oh, God, my voice. My voice. My voice. Shall you hear in the morning? Oh, I'm just preaching like I preach at home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to direct my prayer to thee. And I'm going to look up. I'm not going to bury my face in quietness. I want you. I'm looking up. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look up. Most people I see get the Holy Ghost, they're looking up. Amen. God's going to pour it in. I want to have head first. Hallelujah. Pour it in. I'm looking up. Praise God. In the morning, early, will I seek thee with my voice in prayer. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Why? Because my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Do you have a prayer life? If you don't have a prayer life, you don't know him. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't know him. You absolutely have no relationship with God if you don't have a prayer life. There's absolutely no way possible that God can get intimate with you when you're by yourself if you don't have a prayer life. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a prayer life, you better get one started. Hallelujah. Bible said Abraham built an altar and then he called on the name of the Lord. Where is your altar at? Where is your altar at? Where is your altar where you call on the name of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have an altar, you don't know him. You don't. The only altar you got here is at church. You don't know him. Now you see where I'm coming from?
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Ah! If the only time you feel the mighty power of God is at church, you don't know him. Amen. Yeah, is your prayer life like this to where your soul thirsts and your flesh longs for the Lord in a dry and thirsty land where no water is? Hallelujah. Think about what he said right there. That your soul longeth for the Lord. In a dry, thirsty land where no water is. I can't think of a more dry and thirsty land, Elder Ross, than when we wake up in the morning. There ain't no water there. When you wake up in the morning, the church ain't there. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Glory to God! They're not there to create the atmosphere for you to begin to feel God. No water. No move of God. No Holy Ghost moving. Nothing being poured out. It all depends on your prayer life, your consecration, your devotion, your commitment, your dedication, your sacrifice. To create that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking about knowing him. Amen. Because you see, the psalmist said this. He said, ha, ha, ha. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory like I see it in the sanctuary, like I see it in church. I'm not in church. I'm not in church. I'm not in church. But I want to see it. I want to feel it. Like I feel it at church. Anybody hungry for that? Anybody thirsty for that? I know you're saying, yeah, amen, in a church atmosphere. You're agreeing in an easy atmosphere. You don't feel like this when you wake up in the morning. It's easy to say, yeah, amen, yeah, you're right. You see, that's what I'm talking about. We know all the right responses. We know all the things we need and got to do. Woo! But you see, those that know him, they know how to get the flesh out the way. I'm committed to prayer in the morning. I'm committed, hallelujah, because I want to know him. I want to give him a chance to get intimate with me. When he calls me and I'm by myself sleeping at night, hallelujah, if he wants to get intimate with me, I'm willing to wake up. Because I know him. This is what I'm talking about, church. When you have a prayer life and you pray, you need to get to the place to where you feel a move of God like you feel in church. That's what that scripture say. Oh, hallelujah. I know it may not be every day. Amen. You have a mighty move of God at home, but you at least need to touch God. You at least need to get to praying in the spirit. Get to the place where you feel God. Hallelujah. Oh God. That's what the psalmist said. Early when I seek thee, my voice you'll hear early in the morning. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land, Elder Collin, where there's no water. The church ain't there to pump me up. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to move on because I got to show you some things tonight. Amen. Y'all still with me here? Can you imagine if we all come to church? Amen. With this frame of mind. Praise God. You see, because when you know how to bring all you know about the power, glory, and presence of God, that you know about God in church, to a personal level between you and God. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. You talk about people getting on fire for God. Can I say it this way? God wants the same relationship with you that he has with the church when it's gathered together. Because when it comes to standing before him at the throne of judgment, I see apostolics in this passage of scripture too. Matthew 7, amen, in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in your name? Haven't we preached in your name? In thy name we cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Never knew you. Oh, they knew truth. Oh, yeah, they know truth. That's what I'm talking about. You can know truth and not know the Lord.
You're right.
Ephesus knew the truth.
Yes, sir.
I want you to think about that. If God was willing to move Ephesus' candlestick out of its place, knowing truth, hallelujah, but because they didn't love God, they didn't. He wasn't their first love. Then there are many here preaching in his name, prophesying in his name, casting out devils, doing many wonderful works. Hallelujah. I see all denominations. I see everybody in that. Hallelujah. Because like I said, you fit there if you don't have a prayer life. I just make it plain. Hallelujah. You qualify in that passage of scripture if you don't have a prayer life. That's hard, harsh, but I'm just being myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell it like it is. Don't beat around the bush. Elder Duddy said, don't hold back. Hallelujah. You see, because when he said, I never knew you. You don't develop a close relationship with God when you first get the Holy Ghost. That's something to grow into that intimacy with God. It takes time with God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It takes time. That's why you keep coming to church. You want to get what you have, take, get here, take it home with you. Take it to your job with you. Take it when you go out to your school, everywhere you go. Hallelujah. You want to, and you build upon it. You build upon it. You build upon it. Amen. I look at the scripture this way. Amen. If you see it differently, then fine. Amen. Jews said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. When is your most holy faith? When is your most holy faith? I would say it's right after preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith is no higher than right after you hear the preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. After you hear the preaching, amen, yes, you got faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's time to build on that, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
That's why we have altar call. Amen. All right, let me get into this. Amen. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also. That is of a contrite, humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, who dwells in the high and holy place, will also dwell with the ones that are contrite and humble. Woo, that's a high God. Woo. Amen. Willing to dwell with them that are humble. Praise God. Amen. Uh-huh. When we humble ourselves and pray, we get God's attention. To this man will I look, he that is poor and a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. Amen. We get God's attention when we humble ourselves and pray. His spirit will come to us. Amen. When you approach God in your prayer life, amen, you need to come to him humbly. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. The intimacy is with the Spirit of God. When we feel his presence privately in our personal relationship with him. You see, the problem is that too many get offended. They get offended too easy. They hold feelings and grudges. They gossip. They compete against one another. They get jealous. They exclude people. They fight constantly against bitterness. But when you know the Lord, you know the key is brokenness. When you know the Lord, you know the key to me getting delivered. The key is brokenness. Mm-hmm. You know how to be broken and contrite before the Lord. You understand that in your brokenness, you see your faults. In your brokenness, you see your sins. In your brokenness, you see your shortcomings. You know the key to feeling the presence of the Lord like you do in church is being broken and contrite before the Lord. In your private, personal time. God does not despise that. That's where you open the door, hallelujah, and let him come in and sup with you. In your brokenness, you feel repentant. You feel godly sorrow. You feel humility. Amen. And with this kind of heart and spirit, God deals with you about who and what you are. Oh, glory. See, when you know the Lord, you know where you begin to enter into his presence. Hallelujah. What he comes to, what his spirit comes to is brokenness, humility, a contrite spirit. And when you get to that place in your prayer, that's when God begins to come. Hallelujah. That hunger, that thirst for him. We're not perfect, church. Paul said, I die daily. Right? I die daily. To die daily means you gotta crucify this flesh. And Romans said we mortify the deeds of the body through the spirit. That's how we kill the deeds of the body. How we crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts is through the spirit. to get the Spirit, you got to learn how to be broken. You got to learn how to be contrite in your prayer. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. And when you get to that place, you already got a promise from God. He's coming. He's coming. Do y'all believe that tonight? He's coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, when you do that, you're becoming weak. And Paul realized that, hey, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because that's what God's looking for, is weakness. In your brokenness and your contriteness, you're weak. And that's where he can strengthen you. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And when you get down to pray and you say, oh God, with from that emotional cry, hallelujah, and you realize how much you need God, how much you need his help. Hallelujah. Amen. And you feel that brokenness, you feel that weakness, you feel that contriteness that you are towards him is right then and there. Has anybody experienced this? Yes, sir. Yes. Saints of God need to experience this. Hallelujah. You need to understand. It's not just getting down and praying and saying a few words and say, I pray. No, no, no. Hallelujah. I want to have a close relationship with God. I want to get intimate with him. I want to know him. I want to know his spirit. I want to know his presence. I want to know him. Hallelujah. When he wants to come and know me. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see, all of a sudden, you begin to feel that spiritual strength of his power. And all of a sudden, the offenses don't come so easy. You forgive those that have done you wrong. Instead of competing, you're preferring. Instead of excluding, you're including. And the feelings and grudges, amen, you don't have a problem holding on to them. That when you come to church, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Even to get into the presence of God, it's a struggle. Amen. Even to get into the Spirit, it's a struggle. Why? Because you got to come to church to take care of things when in your prayer life, that should have took care of some things. Well, you see, we love church too much when we got to come to church to fix everything. I'm not, see, I don't want to have to clarify, do I? I don't have to clarify, do I? Some of these things, amen, when you get into the presence of God in your personal prayer life with God, a lot of these things should be taken care of. That's right, Ella Townsley, and it will happen. Yeah, that's right, because when you get broken, you see your faults, not somebody else's. When you get contrite, hallelujah, you see where, you see your weakness and how much you need God. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And then God can begin to take care of some things right there. That when you come to church, amen, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. Not all bogged down with trouble. Not all bogged down. This against that one, that against this one. But you see, you gotta an intimate relationship with God in your prayer life. that a lot of these things are taken care of, that you can walk in the house of the Lord. And I was glad when they say that it's going to the house of the Lord. I'm not just saying that, I feel that. I'm not just saying that, I'm coming like that. Why? Because me and Jesus had a good time in prayer this morning, and we took care of some things. Hallelujah. Where's that sister at? I love you. Let's dance together. Hallelujah. Why? Because you know the Lord. You know God will take care of those things. Yes. Hallelujah. You know he's going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm almost through here tonight. Amen. Because you know now you've taken the beam out of your eye. And you now can take the mote out of somebody else's eye. Amen. As you do this day after day, morning after morning, in your personal prayer life and relationship with the Lord, even other times during the day, knowing the Lord becomes so much sweeter than all the things that may trouble and bother us. We know the Lord. He's our burden bearer. We know the Lord. We can take it and bring it to him at our altar of prayer and leave him there. We're used to that. We've experienced that. We know how to do that. Why? We know the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We know that. We know that. Yeah, we know it in our mind. But do you know it in your heart? Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. We know the Lord. Amen. He's going to take care of things. We know the Lord because when we get into his presence and feel his touch and loving arms around us, everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Sometimes I just walk in prayer. Amen. I feel those arms wrapping around me and I have to do this. Hallelujah. Woo! Because God feels so good. When it's just me and him. Woo! Hallelujah. It's all right to come to church and pray. It's all right. Amen. My prayer life is mostly at church. But when I don't come to church, I pray at home. Hallelujah. Amen. The doors are open for your church and you want to stop by the church on your way to work. That'll work. That'll work. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it's called the house of prayer. If anything we want this to be, it's the house of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know the Lord this way? Is he really your first love? Our personal time where God wants to know us like he went into Samuel in those times, which should be many and often, that we spend with him. Our prayer and devotion time should be more about getting into his presence and being intimate with him rather than just our prayer time. Can you imagine if we all come to church with this type of relationship with the Lord? Can you imagine the high level of church we could have? The many dimensions we could reach in the spirit, because you're not taking care of stuff. Huh? Amen. You're not taking care of stuff. You can imagine the kind of revival that we could have in the church if we all came having all that taken care of, all grudges, all feelings, all envy, all jealousy, all competition. We took care of that already. Hallelujah. When we come to church, amen, we're ready for God to take us to the next mountain. Take us to the next mountain. Why? Our worship is intimacy with the Lord. The Lord is intimate with us as a whole body. That's why we don't video our services. This is an intimate time. This ain't for the world to see and to mock and make fun of. And we don't need other churches looking in on our intimate relationship with God. That's why you can't stay at home and listen on Zoom. Oh, hallelujah. Because you're not at the same place where God's pouring it out. You're not receiving it in connection with the body.
Yes.
I understand if you're sick, can't be here. I agree with you, Elder Collins. Many times I thought about getting rid of Zoom too. But there are some that really, really need it. They just can't get there. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm hard. No. You can't stay home and listen on Zoom. Zoom is not an option. You gotta be here. Something tells me when you know the Lord, you're gonna wanna be there. Hallelujah. I have people in my church, Pastor, can you pray for me over the phone? I wanna be well enough to come to church. I had a sister call me the other night. My son, he's vomiting and he's doing the other part. Hallelujah. Can you pray for him? Can you pray for him so we can come to church? They're not looking for an excuse. Amen. When you video a church service and you put that intimacy with God, how many times we say when we worship the Lord, let's love the Lord. Ain't that right, Bishop? Let's love the Lord. We say that's what we're doing. And for nobody else to see.
You're right.
Hallelujah.
You're right.
You don't have a camera in your bedroom.
Right.
Well, God don't want a camera in his bedroom. Hallelujah. Can we relate to that? Woo, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. This is just between us and God. And if we got visitors, that's all right, because they're coming to join us. Amen. They're being a part. Hallelujah. They're here to receive what God is giving. Oh, glory. I wonder if somebody want to get some consecration tonight. I wonder if somebody want to get closer to the Lord tonight. I wonder if somebody want to develop a prayer life that touches and gets a hold of God. Do you know him? Do you know him? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know him tonight? Are you just in love with church tonight and all the things about church? Do you have to come to church to get everything fixed? Amen. Well, let's get it fixed right now. Let's go home. Let's begin our intimate relationship with God that we can start taking care of things at home, that when we come to church, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. Come on, can we cry out to God here tonight? Can we cry out to God here tonight? Somebody needs to get desperate. Somebody needs to get desperate. Somebody needs to say, oh God, with that emotional feeling from the, oh God.
Why do you say that you love me and that you want to know me, but yet you look for things to do other than to come and spend time with me? Why do you say that you love me and you want to know me, yet you'd rather spend time with your phone and your iPad and with a novel than to study and read my word? Why do you say that you love me and you want to know me, but you search for an excuse to do something other than spend time in prayer? Why do you say that you love me and you want to know me, but yet when I call for you to come away with me and spend time alone, you search out for fellowship somewhere else? Why do you say you love me and you want to know me, but you never spend the night with me? Why do you say that you love me and you want to know me? My heart yearns for you, to spend time with you, to be alone with you. But yet you would rather find something else to do than to spend time alone with me. Do you not understand that when you come to know me, you will be strong and you will do exploits? Why are exploits not being done? Is it not because that you don't really know me? Have you not read in my word, even and heard the cry of the Apostle Paul, even as closely as he was associated with me and as intimate as he was with me, yet hear the cry of that man's heart, oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him.